We ought to constantly give thanks to our God that it can be well with our souls regardless of anything else in this life. And so that for that reason and many more, we're grateful to be here this morning. It is good to see each and every one of you. Our God has truly blessed us with this opportunity to worship Him together. And any visitors among us, we thank you for being here. Just know that it encourages us that you made that decision to join us this morning. And I pray that we are an encouragement to you. Now, my lesson this morning is not one that I originally planned. That's why we don't have a PowerPoint this morning. I decided to go ahead and change the lesson this morning. You know, sometimes I think that's necessary, it's needed, it's appropriate. Times like this, of course, we lost two brethren this last week. You know, we, as a church family, lost two precious souls, as you all know. One older, another younger. One in his golden years of life, you could say, and another, she was in the prime of her life. And for that, our hearts hurt. And where there was great love, there's going to be great pain over that loss. And so I think it's appropriate at times like this to be reminded of some wonderful truths that God gives us to guide us and to comfort us. And so that's what I want to do this morning. I want to revisit a passage that we look at every once in a while, and if I keep my records correctly, we talked about this in detail about 2.5 years ago. And the passage that I'm talking about is 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. We're going to go there in just a moment. You know, our hearts hurt for the hurting. And at times, our world, it seems, comes crashing down around us. Turmoil, pain, fleshly nature fears sometimes, and we even become afraid. In Matthew 28, or chapter 10, verse 28, we're reminded to not fear those that can kill the body and not the soul, but rather fear Him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. And, you know, there's a warning in that passage, absolutely, but it's also a reminder to not be afraid. And I think that that is an important lesson that we need to gather and to help those around us that belong to Jesus, you know, to understand that truth. You know, because sometimes we become afraid and we forget who we are. When we hurt, we can forget. And the thing about it is, when we're hurting, when we're afraid, when we're in turmoil, we forget a lot of truths. Sometimes we forget that we're the body of Christ. Colossians 1 and verse 18. We forget that Christ is the head. We forget sometimes that we are the blood-bought possession of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We, here in the same chapter, sometimes forget that we have an inheritance from the King. Down in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 1, let's talk about that. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And here it is. Sometimes we forget this. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? What is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? And we just forget these things. We forget that God has a plan for us. In verse 19, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. We forget that sometimes. We forget these truths and so many more when we're afraid, when our hearts are hurting, when we are looking to God and we're asking why. And so at times like this, when we lose brethren, sometimes, you know, we ask these questions. And, you know, and if we're not asking those questions, we need to encourage those who probably are asking those questions in such difficult times, right? We just fail to see when our hearts are heavy and it becomes so difficult. We lash out maybe in fear, we lash out in anger, we lash out in desperation, we lash out with words and actions. And those are the kind of things that we do sometimes when we're afraid, when our hearts are hurting, when our hearts are breaking. When I think about a heart in turmoil, I think about Elijah here in 1 Kings chapter 19. And just like us, sometimes it seems like the whole world is kind of crashing down upon us. And we're asking those questions, why? Why did this happen? Same thing with Elijah here. And I just want us to be reminded what God is reminding Elijah here. We need to be reminded of some truths to open our eyes to this challenge. And I think maybe that's a good way to look at this passage here. It's a challenge to see perspective in the midst of turmoil. And we just need that sometimes. We need to do some reassessment here. In 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to look at verses 10 through 18. But real quick, just so you know, verses 1 through 9, Elijah here found himself in a world of turmoil. And in verse 4, he even asked God to take his life. And in verse 10 here, you see Elijah feared for his physical situation. So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. So he was afraid here of real and unreal or imagined situations or dangers, and we do that too when we are in the midst of turmoil and heartache, right? And this is just simply how our minds operate. We fear when our world is turned over. We fear when we don't know what to do. We don't know what the next step is, and in the midst of that chaos, it's hard. It's tough. But I want you to note here, number one, in verse 11, the answer. We get a three-part answer that Elijah got that applies to us today. I want you to note that God says basically stop, number one. Then he said to him, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. So number one here, I think we can take this as God says, I just want you to stop for a minute. Remember 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Sometimes we just need to stop and take inventory, count our blessings, you know, look for what is good in our lives, or simply even what's even just okay in our lives. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Our God is awesome. And he's there. He cares for you. He knows what's going on in your life. He's involved in your life. And many times he's telling us just to stop and be reminded that that is truth. We just need to stop. You know, one of the most simple and profound statements in the entire Bible is in Psalm 46, verse 10. And you probably know it. Be still and know that I am God. So simple, but yet so powerful. Many times we just need to stop. We need to be still, remove the distractions, and look up. And know that God is. Be still and know that I am God, because sometimes we forget because we're so distracted from the world around us, from now the maybe the turmoil that's going on in the inside, struggle with sin. Stop. Be still and know that God is. Right? And so that's one of the things that the Lord is telling Elijah here in this turmoil that he's involved in. But I want you to note here next, God says, listen. Let's read 11 and 12 together, 1 Kings chapter 19. Then he said, go on and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. We say at times, where's God? We say, why God, where are you? But yet we're not willing to stop and listen for him. And this is something that Elijah is being taught here. Right? We need to seek God and listen to him in the time of fear, in the time of turmoil, in the times of aching hearts, right? When there's been tragedy, we need to look in the right place for him. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, you know these words well. In verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We need to look in the right place for him. You know, especially when there's a destructive wind that blows into your life. Right? Even when there's an earth-shaking event that happens. When a destructive fire seems to have burned out your life. Right? Stop, take inventory, and listen for God. Listen to him. And notice God wasn't in any of those things. Rather, God wanted Elijah to know. He wants me to know today, as I put myself into the narrative here and read this for my benefit, he wants me to know he was found in a small, still voice. Remember Psalm 46:10? Be still and know that I am God. Right? You're not going to hear him if you won't listen. You're not going to hear him if you won't stop. And I know that God doesn't speak to us verbally. But the question is, am I listening? In John, the 10th chapter, Jesus says this in verses 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. See, I can't or won't listen if I don't first stop and be still. Finally, I want you to note this here, back in 1 Kings 19, God said, basically, remember. Stop, listen, and let's remember a few things. This is what he's telling Elijah. This is what he's telling us today. And I know that the events are different, separated by thousands and thousands of years, but the principle is true. So God said, remember, look at verse 13. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave, and suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord of God of hosts. And let me stop for a moment there. Many times when we're living a faithful life and bad things happen to us, tragedy, we think it's not fair. right? We've been so zealous for you, Lord. Why are these things happening to me? And that's just not the way that God operates, right? Jesus suffered in this life. What makes us think we won't suffer? God doesn't remove the trial and the turmoil many times, but he gives us the grace sufficient to make it through those difficult times. And so this is what Elijah is learning here. I've been zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left. God, everyone else is unfaithful, but I've been faithful, and yet these bad things are happening to me. In verse 15, the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel, Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. See what he's telling him to do here? Get busy. Do my work. That's the answer. Let's remember some things and get busy. And I think that's very important in all of this. Get busy working for the Lord. Let him take care of everything else. And God says, remember, in verse 18, you're not alone. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. Brother, we need to turn off the noise around us more often. We need to stop. We need to listen. We need to remember. We need to get busy when our hearts are hurting. And in that, we need to get busy helping those whose hearts are hurting and carry their burdens and help them through that difficulty. You know, Philippians 3 and verse 20 reminds us that our citizenship is in heaven. Peter writes in 1 Peter 5, beginning in verse 6, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt us. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you, in verse 7. Your citizenship is in heaven. He cares for you. Revelation 2 and verse 10, be faithful unto death, and you will receive the crown of life. Right? There's so many areas that we can think about when we face turmoil and difficulty. But listen, God is involved. God cares. He's given us guidance. He wants to help us. Now, my original lesson, we were going to look at Romans the 8th chapter. And I had forgotten to give a different scripture reading. And I'm glad that I did forget, because it fits very well with what we're looking at this morning here. Listen, again, it's hard many times in this life with what we face and the difficulties, you know, just death's a part of life. And that's such a difficult pill to swallow. And it can hurt us sometimes, hurt our faith, where we begin to question God. You know, I do think it is normal to have moments of doubt in difficult situations. But we've got to come back to God. We've got to come back to him. And we need to help others do that also. So I would encourage you, before we read this verse and then the lesson is yours, I would encourage you, maybe more so than you ever have, to surround these families in the time of loss, especially the McKinley family. Would you do that? Would you help them? Help Herschel carry those burdens? He's a young Christian, and this could be a place that we can glorify God so much and really help that family out. Romans 8, beginning in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, and this is a quote from Psalm 44 and verse 22, that's a victory song. It's a victory for those who belong to the Lord. And so Paul quotes that here, and he continues, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And then he says in verse 38, "For I am persuaded." Now Paul uses that very particular phrase in 2 Timothy chapter 1 also. Now verse 7, we're reminded that we haven't been given a spirit of fear or timidity. And then he goes on in verse 12, he says, if you remember that passage there, "I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day." He knew without a doubt he was absolutely persuaded there. He's persuaded here. "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Listen, God will not separate you from him. Satan can't separate you from him. Only you can separate yourself from God. And that's with unresolved sin. And so as we think about the lesson, and God says, "I want you to stop, I want you to listen, I want you to remember in times of turmoil," and that being true, listen, it all begins with us submitting to the will of God in all things, and that includes obeying the gospel. So if you're here this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel, we ask you to investigate that, to open up the Word of God and see what it is you need to do. Let us help you with that. But in short, it involves you being immersed into Christ for the removal of sins. And you're doing that with a responsive faith. You love God. You're willing to repent of your sins. Confess him before men. Right? It's that response and taking that action. So if you haven't done that, that's the call for you this morning. Or if you're just hurting, or if you need any help from this congregation, encouragement, anything, please don't hesitate to ask. Let us show you the love of Christ as we stand, as we sing.